Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you would, turn with me to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, verse 11. God is talking to and through Jeremiah. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." So God is saying, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. All right, thoughts of peace, not of evil, not of evil, not of evil, but to give you an expected end. All right, turn me to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and the third verse. It says, through faith, we understand that the worlds, plural, were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. All right, so here we see the Apostle Paul is writing, and the Apostle Paul is saying, through faith, we understand. That means because of our assignment, we understand how the worlds, plural, were framed by the word. Now, that word there translated rhema. That's not logos, that's rhema. For those that don't know, and sometimes you have to go over things over again, logos is what God has said. Rhema is what God is saying. All right, so it says that the worlds were framed by what God is saying. So that means you have to have your ear to God. Now, Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Hebrews 11:3, we understand through faith that the worlds were framed by the word of God, what God is saying. When we put those two together, you'll see that your world has already been framed. Your world has already been framed. Your world has already been designed. Your future has already been set. It says through faith, through our assignment, through us knowing what God wants to do with us. God framed the world by speaking. In the beginning, he said, let there be light. And God said, let this happen. And God said, let that happen. So that means that our lives have already been designed and set in the supernatural. But it's going to be up to us whether it manifests in the natural. I want you to see this. It's going to be up to us whether we manifest the supernatural life. Now, here's the thing. Let me say it this way. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There are many people that have lived this earth and died and never brought to manifestation what God had planned for them. Many people have lived and died and never brought one iota of what God had planned for them. There's only one reason for that. Watch this. Go with me to Romans, the 10th chapter. See, Hebrews 11 and 3 tells us how worlds are framed. It says, through faith, we understand. That means, the word understand means I have to take my thoughts and submit them to something. So I have to take my thoughts and submit it to God's thoughts, which means that through faith, through my assignment, I understand how the worlds were framed. So watch this. If I understand, if I submit my thoughts, submit my belief system to how the worlds were designed, that means it's going to be easy for me to frame my world. If I believe that God framed the world with his words, or let me say it like this. If I believe that God framed his world with instructions. I'm going to say that again. God framed the world with instructions.
Yes,
sir. The Bible said he looked upon the face of the earth and it was void and full of darkness. And what he said, let there be light. That was an instruction given to the world. So if God, that's what it means that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word, the live, what God is saying, of word of God. So that means if God was able to look into a dark and void situation and tell it and it had to obey, that means if I can find out what God is telling me and obey it, then my world will unfold. My world will unfold. So it's not so much in me that I am alone framing my world. It's more that my world has already been framed and I am unfolding it based on instructions I get from God. Is this making sense? That's what it means. Through faith, we understand. So what happens when you get understanding? When you get understanding, you can function better. When you understand how something works, you can cooperate with it better. When you understand how a machine works, you can use it better to your advantage. So it says, through faith, we understand how the worlds were framed. Right? So Hebrews 11 and 3, it tells us how the worlds are framed. Is this making sense?
Yes, sir.
Romans 10, 17. Romans 10, 17. All these are familiar scriptures, but I'm just taking the scriptures and looking at it from an apostolic point of view.
Yes, sir.
Because once again, we take Hebrews 11 and 3 and we take the logos and start saying stuff. We just start saying just saying stuff. And we think we alone gonna take God's ability and frame our world into what we want. When in actuality, God has already thought about it. And he said, I know the thoughts I think towards you, not of evil. So whatever you thought you could take the word of God and frame perfectly for your life, God then infinitely better framed it better than you can. Romans 10, 17, watch this. Romans 10, 17 tells us where to locate the information and grace to frame our worlds. Hebrews 11, 3 told us how. Romans 10, 17 tells us where we have to go. 10, 17, watch what it says. And so then faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the what? Word of God. That word there again is rhema. Meaning that, watch this, faith comes by hearing and hearing by what God is saying.
Yes, sir.
See, what I'm trying to get you to see is you're going to get more from God, watch this, by how much time you spend with him.
Yes.
You're going to get more from God but how much you are going after his voice. So then faith comes by hearing. The same faith that we understand how the worlds were framed. So if the worlds were framed by the word of God, we understand that through faith. So we know that our faith, our assignment, is how our world is being framed or unfolded.
Yes.
So that means I have to go to God. I have to spend time with the Holy Spirit so that he can reveal to me what is necessary in my life so I can be, so I can unfold my world. So it's not so much of me, so much planning, it's me unfolding. You see what I'm saying? It's not so much me planning, it's me unfolding. Now, you may have plans, but if God can't come in and change them, that's a problem. See, if God can't come in and change your plans, then that means you're trying to usurp authority. You're trying to take his authority and his power to do what you want. Listen to this definition of power, because I love the definition. I was reading a book one time and I heard this definition, because I want you to see, I want you to hear this every time I use the word power. Because remember now, Hebrews 11 and 3 tells us how worlds are framed, right? Romans 10, 17 tells us where we have to go to get the instructions and grace. Grace is empowerment. Right? We see it was also defined as favor or special treatment. All that really saying is grace is the authority and the power put together. That's what grace is. Authority and power put together. So Romans 10, 17 tells us where we have to go to get instructions and grace, or the authority and power to accomplish the instructions.
Yes.
Now, let me tell you the definition of power. I've said it before, but this is one of my, I love this definition of power. The ability to complete a task despite all opposition.
Yes, sir.
I'm gonna say it again, that's what power is. Power is the ability to complete a task despite all opposition. So when you have power to do something, it doesn't matter what comes up against you. So Romans 10, 17 tells me where I have to go to get the instructions and the authority and the ability to accomplish the instructions despite all opposition.
Yes, sir.
See, so my assignment, my faith, comes from me spending time with God and God talking to me. God giving me direction. God giving me insight. God let me see things that other people can't see. That comes from me spending time with him. It doesn't come from anybody else spending time with him on my behalf. It comes from me spending time with him for myself. So faith comes by hearing, not just hearing by what God is saying to you. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 9. Now this scripture, 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, is kinfolk to Jeremiah 29:11. But in 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, if we're going to read it, verse 10, is going to tell us, it's going to let us know that those thoughts are accessible. Verse 9, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared, already prepared. I know the thoughts. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, already prepared. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. God said this before you were born. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, already prepared. For them that love him. Right? Look at verse 10. But God has revealed them. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Verse 9. Watch verse 9 say. Watch verse 9 say. It says, but I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. You may not know it. You may not have a dreamed about it. You may not even completely understand. But I love the word but. B-U-T means all that has been eliminated. You might not know it. You might not understand it. You might not have seen it before. If you're going to be, as Apostle is pushing us to be, a pace setter, you're going to have the courage and the tenacity to do things you ain't never seen before. So this scripture is telling us, don't worry about it if you ain't never seen it before. Don't worry about it if you ain't never dreamed it before. Don't worry about it if you don't completely understand everything. But all has been eliminated. Now watch what it says. But God has what? Revealed them unto us by his Holy Spirit. I love, watch this. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Then the Apostle Paul gives the credentials of the Holy Spirit. He gives a, look at verse 11. He says, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, just like the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So here it is, no man knoweth the things of God but the Spirit of God, and I can have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So the personal relationship of the Holy Spirit, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to help me unfold what I don't understand. See, all I got to understand is through faith. I don't have to understand how. I don't have to understand when. I don't have to, I ain't never had to see it before. It don't even have to exist. But when I spend time with the Holy Spirit, I receive instructions. Now, when I receive the instructions, God never sends instructions to you or to me or to anyone without the grace. What sense does it make to tell me to do something and I can't do it? So he sends us the instructions and the grace to go along with it. What the grace is? The authority and the power. So that means I have been authorized to get this done. So whatever is in my way is going to have to get up out of my way. Everything that's trying to stop me from doing what God has called me to do is going to have to be dealt with. Because I have authority and I have the ability to get it done despite what's in front of me. That, watch this, Apostle is pushing us to be pace setters. You cannot be a pace setter without knowing what God wants with you. Go with me to John, the 14th chapter. John, the 14th chapter. I remember now, Hebrews 11 and 3 tells us how worlds are framed. Romans 10, 17 tells us where we have to go to get instructions and grace to frame our world. or to unfold it. John the 14th chapter, watch this. John the 14th chapter. Because I want to emphasize this before I show you how to access the instructions. Yes, sir. See, you can know where to go to get something. You can know where the grocery store is at. But if you don't ever get out your car and go inside, you ain't gonna be able to get what's on the inside. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Some of us have been going to the grocery store and not going inside. What I mean by that? You come into church.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But you ain't going home and going inside. John, the 14th chapter, I want you to see this, the 31st verse. But that the world may know Jesus talking, right?
Yes, sir.
Not some super spiritual. Jesus talking because we is in red.
That's,
that's how I know he talking, is in red. But that the world may know that I love the Father. Now watch this. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Other words, Jesus is saying, I ain't doing nothing unless my Father tells me. I ain't about to make no major moves in my life unless I get instructions from the Holy Spirit. I ain't about to make no major decision in my life. See, let's separate this. See, some people won't take this overboard and they won't pray about everything. What I'm gonna eat today. No. Jesus said in Matthew 6, don't focus on them things.
Right.
Other words, Jesus was saying, don't spend a whole lot of energy. Get what you want. Make sure it's gonna keep you alive. Go ahead and eat it. What Jesus is saying, I ain't making no major moves in my life unless I get instructions. I'm not making no major decision in my life unless I get insight. If I have to make a major decision in my life, I'm going to pause and go confer with the Holy Spirit. And I'm not making no decision. I'm not letting nobody put me on no pressure to make no decision until I hear from the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And if you can't wait till I hear from the Holy Spirit, then take your deal and move on up the road. Because watch this. I know the thoughts that God thinks towards me. And so if this situation comes in my life, if this opportunity comes in my life, if I got to make this decision in my life, then that means God already knew the decision was coming. He already knew this opportunity was coming. He already knew this situation was coming. So therefore, I must confer with him.
Yes, sir.
Confer with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Let him show me
what
to do.
Yes, sir.
How to handle this.
Yes.
What to say. What not to say. Jesus never made any major move without the help of the Holy Spirit. No major move. He made no major decision without the help of the Holy Spirit. Every miracle you see him perform is with the help of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
I mean, who, watch this now. 2 Corinthians 9 and 2 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10, Jesus walked it out. Jesus walked it out many times. Who in the world would tell somebody, go fishing, and the first fish you catch, it's gonna have.
Right.
Somebody had to reveal that to Jesus.
Right.
Remember now, Jesus was here on earth as a man, being led by the Holy Spirit. So that means what Jesus had never dreamed about, he ain't never heard nobody catching a fish with money in his mouth. But yet somebody revealed it to him to tell Peter, go cast a hook. And the first fish you catch gonna have.
Yes, sir.
Ain't nobody ever seen that before. You don't understand that. But somebody, the Holy Spirit, had to reveal that to Jesus so Jesus can give those instructions. The same thing he wants to do for us. But we have to go to the grocery store. We have to go inside. We have to go into his presence. We can't keep come drive to the grocery store and not get out the car. We got to go in for ourselves. If you want what's in the grocery store, you got to go in and get it. What does scripture is, come in and buy bread with no money? That is the supernatural. Come in and buy with no money. The only thing going to cost you in the supernatural is your time. That's all it's going to cost you. Is you taking a little time, some time to spend with God and just simply saying, God, what you want me to do? God, how you want to handle this? God, what we need to do? And you'll be able to make every decision. You'll be able to make every... Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, go to verse... Because Jesus, I learned a secret from Jesus. Go to verse 30. Go to 30. Jesus talking again, right? He said, hereafter I will not talk much with you. For the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me. And this is a secret. Some of us want to run our mouth about what God has told us. We want to run our mouth. All right, watch this. Hold your finger there and go, because Paul going to confirm this. Go to 1 Corinthians again, back to the second chapter. Go back to the second chapter. See, God tells you things for your benefit, not for you to seem like you're super spiritual. Go back to second, right? Holy Finger, go back to First Corinthians, the second chapter. First Corinthians, second chapter. Watch this. Look what the Apostle Paul said in verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. I'm going to get to that in a minute. We speak wisdom for them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor the princes of this world, that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world into our glory. Watch this verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Other words, that was making reference to what Jesus was saying in John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said, I'm not going to say nothing else. Because the prince of this world is lurking around trying to get inside information. So I'm not going to run my mouth. So I can do what God called me to do. Yes. Sometimes you ran your mouth too much and the devil heard you, and then he was able to put a trap or put a blockage so you couldn't do what God called you to do.
That's good.
Apostle Paul says, I'm getting ahead of myself. Apostle Paul says, we speak wisdom and mystery, hidden wisdom. Jesus said it another way. Jesus says, the soul soweth the word. What apostle does to us on Sundays and Wednesday is he sows the word, which is a seed. Let me tell you what a seed does. A seed is meant to disrupt the ground. A seed is meant to disrupt the ground. Disrupt the ground, agitate the ground, mess with the ground, so the ground can give up what it needs to give up for the seed. So when an apostle preaches to us and imparts to us and prophesies to us, what he's doing is on the inside of our spirits, he's planting a seed that disrupts our spirits. It causes to agitate our spirits. Watch this. That word gets on the inside and it caused the agitation. It caused disruption so that your spirit can release what is necessary for you to become who God has called you to be. But if you don't spend time with the Holy Spirit, that seed is going to lie there dormant. Because what happens is that seed gets on the inside of you, begins to cause disruption, because things begin to move in your spirit. If you don't go back home and begin to spend time with God and ask God, what is this disruption? What is the disruption? He's trying to get you to see something you've never seen before. He's trying to get you to hear something you never heard before. He's trying to get you to understand what you never understood before, so that you can receive instructions, so that you can be a pace setter.
Yes, sir.
You can do things that ain't nobody else doing.
All right. Yes, sir. That's good.
So every minister, that's the purpose of the fivefold. Every one of the fivefold is supposed to plant that seed of disruption. Your spirit is the ground.
Yeah.
When they sow that seed goes inside of you and disrupts. That's why it says some it fell on way by the wayside. Some fell on thorny ground. Then some fell on good ground. What it mean? Good ground means that person went back and began to work with that disruption.
Yeah.
God, what are you trying to tell me? What you trying to show me? What you want me to see? What you want me to hear?
Yeah.
I've been stirred up, but now I'm going to finish the stir.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
This is what the Apostle Paul, notice what the Apostle Paul said. Notice what he said. He said, but we speak, verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a
mystery.
In a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God, which God ordained. What? That sounds familiar.
Yes.
That sounds familiar. I know the thoughts
that
I think towards you. Before the in Ephesians 1, he says, another way he said, I bless you with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. You further down, before he ordained it, before the foundations of the earth. Other words, the minister, the preacher, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, is to only sow the seeds of disruption into your spirit. Now, don't look at disruption as a bad word. When I'm talking about disruption, I'm talking about a good disruption. I'm talking about a disruption. You may be not knowing what to do. You may not be knowing what direction to go in, but you hear a word from God, from your man or woman of God, and that seed goes, and it causes disruption. It stirs you up.
Yeah.
You don't know which way to go, but you know you got to do something.
Yes.
That don't mean you just go do anything. That don't mean you just go do anything. That means now, okay, all right, let me explain it like this. An eagle that has eaglets, raise the eaglets, and every so often the eagle leaves the nest to bring back food, but the eagle also leaves the nest and bring back something to put in the nest, thorns, prickly, something in the nest, so that what was comfortable to the eaglet is no longer comfortable. The eagle ain't never flew before. The eagle don't understand it's supposed to fly. The eagle it got to get out of this nest. Because it ain't comfortable here no more. That's what that word going into your spirit does. That word going into your spirit makes you uncomfortable because you know God got more for you. You know God wants to use you more. You might not know what he want to do. You might not understand it all. But you know God wants to use you. But then you got to go and spend time with him so that you can get instructed, so you can realize that you can fly. You can realize that apostle is not the only one right here with wings. See, some of y'all got scared right there. That's why he teaching us, so that we can fly like he flying. That's why he had to have certain experiences so he can come back and tell us it's possible for you to do it. Be seated. Jesus said in John 14:31, again, 40:31, he only does what the Father commands him to do.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
John 12. John 12. Look at verse 49. Jesus talking again. It's a good example we follow. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment. What I should say and what I should speak. That brings me to let you understand, let's figure out the difference between decrees and confession. There's a difference between decrees and confession. Watch this. Confessions open your mind up to God's thoughts and the possibility that something can change. Confession opens your mind up to God's thoughts and the possibility that things can change. That don't mean things gonna change. Confession opens up God's thoughts to you and the possibility of change. Decrees, watch what decrees does. Decrees are God's thoughts telling you what to speak in the physical. Those words don't originate in the natural. Confession originates in the natural. Decrees don't originate in the natural. Those words don't originate in the natural. Those particular words originate in the mind of God. So when those words originate in the mind of God, they carry the same weight as let there be light. So that's why Jesus said, I don't say nothing but what I hear my Father say. See, we thought confession was thing causing things to change. No, confession opens you up to receive decrees. Confession opens your mind up to receive what God is saying. So that when you say what God says, think, all right, watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Go with me to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, look at verse 11. Now this is God talking. How I know it's God talking, we start in verse 8. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, said the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Verse 11, so shall my word be that go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God saying his word will not return to him void. Under the pastoral model, we said my word. But it's not my word. It is his words that I have downloaded and say. See, let's not get confused. Let's not get confession and decrees confused. Confession is watch this. Confession does what Romans 12 and 2 does. That's why it says, be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We renew our mind with the word of God. That's right, it opens your mind. It opens your mind to the possibility that something gonna change. Yes, sir. It opens your mind to the possibility that I don't have to stay in the same situation. It opens your mind that change can happen. Yes. That don't mean it's going to happen, because watch what confession does. Romans 12 and 2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can what? Prove or recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So renewing my mind, confession, talking to myself, opens up my mind so I can receive decrees.
Yes, sir.
So I can receive instructions.
Yes, sir.
See, it's hard to receive instructions if you're not expecting them. So confession puts you in a place of expectation that God can talk to me and that God is going to talk to me, which my mind opens up. So now God can talk to me and I can recognize it because I've been renewing my mind with the word of God. I've been talking to myself with the word of God. But watch this. I got to recognize when I need to stop talking to myself and start listening. Because it's not my confession that's making it happen. Is what God is telling me to do and say that's making it happen. Because remember, we go to God, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when I hear the word of God, I now receive the instructions and the grace. I learn what to do, and I receive the authority to do it, and I receive the ability to do it despite what's trying to stop me. That don't happen by me just confessing. When Jesus spoke to the tree, Jesus decreed.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That wasn't a confession. That was a decree. Why did Jesus have a right to decree to curse that tree? Because the tree was disobeying God. So Jesus decreed. So watch this. So you that's why sometimes before you start talking to stuff, because see, a lot of times you confess that stuff. I'm going to say that again. That went over you. Sometimes y'all confess that stuff. You're not decreeing that thing. You're not telling that thing what to do. You're confessing at it. What's the difference between confessing at it and decreeing, spending time with God?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes, you don't need to say nothing to it right away.
Yeah.
Jesus just said, he don't say nothing.
That's right.
So if you got a situation in your life, because see word of faith? Ooh. We will get this word and we will start confessing at a situation. When we have been given the authority and the power to decree.
Yeah.
It's just, I got to go to God.
Yeah.
I want to say what he's saying. Because the Bible says in Isaiah 55, 11, we just read it, that his words will not return to him void. So if I can access his words and I can say them, then they won't return void to us. See, we've been taking that scripture and making it like we could do this without him telling us what to say. Scripture, the Bible, it says, don't worry about what you're going to say. He said, I'll put words in your mouth that they won't be able to come against. That's because you spent time with God, heard the voice of God. God said, telling you, say this. God telling you, do this. You might not understand it all. You might not understand, but you got to say it and you got to do it. Can you imagine Jesus telling Peter to go fishing and catch the fish? And I'm going to tell you, Peter, the first fish you catch, not the second, not the third one, the very first fish you catch, reach in there and get some money for me and you and go pay our taxes. Can you imagine the look on Peter's face? Now, here's the crazy thing about it. Peter was a fisherman. So he had never had that experience. But it doesn't matter if you never had that experience. All you need is a rhema. Romans 4:17. I want to show you this. Romans 4:17. Romans 4:17. Watch this.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now remember now, what happens to us on a Sunday morning? What happens to us on a Wednesday night? The word is sown. Disruption takes place. Your spirit being the ground, disruption takes place. When a seed goes into the ground, the seed, watch this, the seed goes to the ground and watch it. When you put seed in the ground, you got to move dirt. You got to move dirt. That means disruption got to take place. Disruption. So when that seed go in, it goes underneath and it begins to disrupt the ground because roots start to grow, start to move dirt out the way. It began to be uncomfortable. So now in order to cultivate that seed, I got to water it. I got to pull the weeds from around it. Y'all know what I'm getting at, right? You got to spend time with God. So that if the enemy trying to slip anything, any weed on, you can slip. No, that ain't what God's saying. Pull that weed out. I ain't able to do that. I ain't able to say that. And let that seed continue to grow. So that what is on the inside of you can be released to the outside. Because remember, you are the catalyst for heaven coming to earth. You are the catalyst. You are the catalyst for heaven. Let thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We are the catalyst to heaven manifesting here on earth. So you got to, so that seed, don't sit there and let that seed get on the inside of you, cause disruption, and on Monday you lose it. Tuesday you lose it. Wednesday you lose it. Tuesday, situation pop up. And the cares of this world start to choke. Y'all see how this is making sense?
Yes, sir.
When the seed goes in you, disruption is supposed to take place.
Yes,
dirt is supposed to be moved when a seed is in the ground. Yes. You there's no such thing as coming to church and your spirit remains calm and the same.
Amen.
Something need to be added, and I'm not talking about emotions. I don't care if you shouted all Sunday morning. I don't care. I don't care. Do I like to shout? Yes. Do I get happy? Yes. But when I finish shouting, do you realize why you get, watch this. God made us perfect. He designed us perfectly. When the word is sown into you, that's your environment changing your thoughts. The word of God, when that seed sown in your spirit, that means your thoughts are changing. When your thoughts changing, you find hope when you didn't have hope before. So that's where, watch this, when you get your thoughts changed, your feelings change. So that's where excitement comes from, because you heard something that gave you hope to change a situation that you didn't think was changeable. But when you realize that the situation can change, you get excited. That's why we dance. That's why we run.
Yes, yes.
But when you stop dancing and you stop running,
yes, that's
you got to produce fruit.
Yes, yes, sir.
So that means I got to go home. I got to go home and make myself.
Yeah.
Agitate that word some more. Agitate that seed some more. Go bother God. Why you did that to me Sunday? Why you let me see that Sunday? What I saw that for, God? What else you want me to see? What else you want me to hear? See, you can't be satisfied with the disturbance. You got to take the disturbance and build off the disturbance. Is this making sense? Romans 4. Verse 17, watch this. The Apostle Paul writing about Abraham and how Abraham walked in faith. But I want you to see verse 17. It says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he, Abraham, believed, even God, or it is God, who quickened the dead and call it those things would be not as though they were. So what this is saying is that Abraham trusted in God, who was able to make dead things come alive and call those things as be not as though they were. Not Abraham. But because Abraham trusted in him, Abraham was able to hear from God. Abraham was able to get instruction from God, so it looked like Abraham was able to raise the dead and call those things that be not as though they were. But it was because he trusted in God and did what God say do. See, under the pastoral model, we won't take that scripture and say we can raise the dead and then we can call those things that be not as though they were. Not if God ain't tell you. Not if God, not if you didn't spend time with God to find out how he wants to handle it. See, raising the dead, calling those things that be not as though they were, is supernatural power that comes from God. The devil can't raise nothing from the dead. The world system can't raise nothing from the dead. So any body, any situation that came back alive, it was a supernatural act. And you got to get power from God to make that happen. You can't do that on your own. But it's possible for you to participate. It's possible for you to participate. But you got to go spend time with God. You got to be intimate with the Father. Jesus, every person Jesus raised from the dead, Jesus said, watch this. He said how he did it. I don't do nothing. But the Father, now here's the thing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. I'm going to close it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Help me, Holy Spirit, say this right. There are things that God has planned for you, but you can't get them done if you don't know he has them planned for you. In other words, God had a plan for Jesus to perform the miracles. But if Jesus had not spent time with God, do you know the first time Jesus was led on to what he was supposed to be doing? You know who helped him? Mary. Mary helped Jesus. The first miracle Jesus performed was turning water into wine. Yes. They came to Jesus. They came and said, they ran out of wine. Jesus said, Mary. Mary said, Jesus, they ran out of wine. Jesus said, what that got to do with me? But a scripture later, Mary told him, whatever he said to you, do it. Do you know what happened in between them two scriptures? Mary said, look, I know some things about you. So this is your opportunity to be who God called you to be. So then Jesus came back and said, okay, let's make this happen. Fill up all the pots with water. Wow. Take it out and take it to the head man. By the time you get there, it's going to be turned to wine.
Wow. Yes, sir.
God had that planned. But if ain't nobody spending time with God, wow, Jesus could have received him.
That's good.
The same thing is available to us.
Yes.
The same thing is we have a right to this.
Yes.
It says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. That was going to happen. We find help in the time of need.
Yes.
Come boldly. So spending time with him will put you in a position to where your words won't return to you void. Because your word is his word. His decree that he's revealed to you is no longer your confession that you don't come up with. You just spend time with God and God say this to this situation. You spend time with God and God say, tell them to fill the water pots up.
Yes.
You, God can talk to you.
Yes.
Just like he talked to Jesus.
Yes,
sir. That's why Jesus died on the cross.
Yes.
To redeem us. Put us back in a full position. What position? The position that Adam and Eve was in, was God was talking directly to them. Jesus died for that. So just like God can give Jesus those instructions, just like God can tell Jesus, tell him go catch the first fish. He can tell you that. He can give you instructions that nobody won't be able to stop. Apostle, we bought the Falcon 900. We went to look at it. And we walked in it, and what got me, we walked into this hangar, and this plane was huge. And I looked at Apollo and said, you sure you want this plane? This the one you want. All right, this is the one. All right, okay. So we negotiated, told them a price. They said, we're not going for that. So we got back on our plane that we had and flying back home. Apostle woke me up. I was sleeping. He woke me up. He said, I just heard God said, that is your plane. He said, and he looked at me, he said, that is our plane. Now, that was not a confession. God was getting him to say, so what? So listen, I want you to think about your life, your situation. So we got back home. It was a month and a half. Nobody said nothing. Nope. We ain't calling. We ain't said nothing. They already rejected our price. They took it. Matter of fact, they took the plane off the market. We changed our mind. We're not selling it. Month and a half later, my pilot called and said, y'all still interested in that plane? I said, let me check with Apostle. Apostle, you still interested in the plane? I knew the answer already, but I'm checking with him. He said, yeah, at that price. He told the pilot, said, they will accept your price. Hold up. I ain't finished. I'm an accountant. I graduated from LSU in accounting. When you go to do transactions like that, you have to have audited financial statements. Audited financial statements means you got to have a third party, CPA, come in to look at your books and make sure that your books are not lying, that your financial statement, what you say, your balance sheet, your income statement, and all that is telling the truth, right? It was during tax season. We couldn't get no auditor because all the CPAs were too busy doing taxes. The bank came to us and said, listen, don't worry about audited financial statements. We'll take your review statements. In other words, they were saying, we'll trust y'all. We'll take the statement that you have produced. Now, of course, we ain't lying. We tell the truth in our statement. But they taking it in the world system, you're taking a risk if you look at somebody's books that hadn't been audited. Because they could be lying on them books. So they watch this. They were able to approve the loan and everything with reviewed financial statements. Not audited, reviewed. Are you hearing me? I was getting corrective lens surgery for Learwater 3rd at the time. He was in the hospital. He was getting he was kind of cross-eyed, so he was getting it straight. And I walked out the room, and I received a phone call. And it was like 6 p.m. that evening. I received a phone call, I answered it. That was the guy from the bank saying, listen, we just got a meeting. And he said, I don't understand this. He said, but they looked at your review statements, and they said they want y'all to have this plane. So we accept y'all price. Now, just a month, half, 2 months ago, they were like, nah, we're not accepting that price, and we're taking the plane off the market. But what happened? A decree was made. So watch what happened when decrees are made. When decrees are made, when you take time to hear from God, you take time to spend time with God, and God tells you what to say. You don't go to confess it at a situation. You wait till God, you'll confess to yourself, confess at you, so that you can be prepared to receive decrees. When you receive, watch this, when you receive a decree and you speak the decree, things will begin to change as if God was standing there saying it himself. The hearts of people started changing, all their little processes started changing, all their little requirements started changing, just so God could get Apostle the tool he needed to complete his task. What I'm telling you is your framing of your world has to be unfolded. Don't just take the word of God and just go start saying stuff. Take the word of God to renew your mind, open your mind up to possibilities. Now let's go sit down with God with an open mind. So that you can download everything God wants you to say and do. And then you can execute it. You can say it and you can do it. And then you ain't got to argue with nobody. You ain't got to tell nobody nothing. You ain't got to brag to nobody. You can sit back and watch it get done. You may be seated. Lift your hand if you need to tie it off.